Hello, everyone. Welcome to Perspectives, another edition of the Cedar Creek Midweek Podcast, where we are going to be discussing this past weekend's teachings on communication, the second week in our relatively new series called I Can Relate. With me in the Cedar Creek studios are Pastor Jason Cans and Deacon Matt Novacek.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you both for being here early on a Wednesday morning. We appreciate it.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah. Happy Valentine's Day. That's adorable.
That seriously was not scripted.
No.
I don't know if you can tell if you've ever listened to this podcast, but nothing is scripted. So this past weekend on Friday night, Matt, and on Sunday morning, Jason, you two talked about communication. How did your teachings go? What did you guys talk about? What did you think were some of the like major similarities or differences in your teaching? How did you approach the topic?
I approached it from, I try to go from the James verse that's in the booklets. If you have yet to pick up a booklet based on the series, I highly encourage you to grab one. And I also was trying to follow a thing about scripture. Because the whole series is about relationships and relating and stuff, so I tackled it from inside the church's perspective, talking about how we can better relate to one another. And I thought a lot about Paul when he says, "I become all things to all men." And I thought a lot about how we can relate better to each other when we get to know each other better, and we try to learn each other's hobbies and lingo and. Then I also try to tackle how it's important to know that your actions is a form of communication as well. Not just saying I love you, but showing it is important as well.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I came to your teaching on Friday night, and for those of you who weren't there, Matt started out the first 2-3 minutes speaking in Spanish, which was an interesting approach to starting.
Yeah, that was a great intro.
It was... of course, fascinating that there were several people in there who were talking back to you right off the bat.
I told Brianna, so I came home that night. I told Brianna, like, in my head, I had a list of like maybe 3 or 4 guys, I'm not talking about gals, guys who would heckle me back, and they did.
Yeah.
So I took the risk. And
yeah, so I also took off from James 3 passage. James is a book that I used to hate. I hated reading the book of James, and it's become one of my favorite books now. Mm-hmm. And so I spent most of my time in that James 3 passage where it talks about tongues being really tough to manage. It refers to it, I think, in verse 5 where it says, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. Mm-hmm. But James talks elsewhere in the book about communication and how we interact with one another. And actually, the verse that I kind of used as my outline was from James 1:19, which says that we're to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Mm-hmm. And I kind of took each one of those three things in turn through my teaching. And to kind of look at how do we interact with one another in the church, outside of the church, and kind of went from there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious about something that, Jason, you said just before we started recording. You said that this teaching has, I don't remember exactly how you put it, but
landed,
you said it's kind
me.
Of weighed heavily on you since you gave it. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, you know, it's interesting. As pastors, we try and talk about a lot of different topics, and sometimes you teach things because, well, it's in the Bible and we need to talk about it, and it doesn't seem to have as much personal connection with maybe where you're coming from. But once in a while you give a message that really convicts, really challenges, and for me this week was one of those where I found myself very convicted by how I communicate, thinking through, am I communicating from the wisdom of heaven or from the foolishness of the world? And I'm somebody who, well, I'll back up a minute. One of the things I cautioned against was how we use sarcasm. And sarcasm is a powerful tool, powerful weapon that most of us don't wield well, including me. And I was just very much convicted, I think, by the way that I interact with other people. Am I listening well to my kids? Am I responding, you know, patiently with others? Am I responding in a way where I am seeking to build other people up, to encourage them? Or is there kind of an undercurrent or an undertone of harm or damage? And I think as I've gone through this week and kind of thinking about my interaction patterns, even as recently as last night, I've been convicted by that. We had life group last night, and one of the folks who's in our life group, who for a number of circumstances hasn't been able to be there much recently, also it looked like he might not be there last night. And I found myself, I was feeling sad and I was feeling disappointed, but I went to sarcasm and I started making sarcastic comments about why he wasn't going to be there. And I actually sent out an apology to my life group this morning. And I said that it gets exactly at what I was talking about. So these things like waves just keep coming back over the top of me as I'm thinking about how do I communicate with my kids, with my wife, with the people I work with the people at church. And I feel the weight of the how great a forest is set afire mm-hmm. by such a small blaze. I feel that
sure
powerfully.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's such a big topic, and it's such a, like, you communicate so many different ways with so many different people in so many different contexts. Like, I'm sure putting together a teaching, it's hard to think about, you know, to kind of narrow down what you actually want to talk about, just because it's such a huge scope that affects every part of your life. Was that difficult, or was it, I guess one of the things that I was wondering is if you, in your heads, when you were preparing your teachings, were you thinking more of like communication within the church or with other believers or non-believers or family, or was there any particular thing you had in mind?
I had both in mind for sure, between, believers and the world, because, well, it's a topic I can relate and stuff like that. So, I mean, the ability to relate to one another is huge for Christians, you know, just because, you know, we're all in the family of Christ, and that's great. That's wonderful. It's awesome. We're all going to be in the same mansion together in the end. But right now, we don't have the ability to spend eternity to get to know each other. So it's important to ask the questions, to learn about each other and to discover each other's interests and hobbies, and be able to draw closer and near together as a family, because that's what a family's supposed to do. But I also wanted to touch on the impact that has. Like, when we can do that well, like there's four of us sitting here, like if the four of us can do that well, that will translate to the outside world with our friends, our coworkers, our family members that aren't saved, you know, children in Bulgaria. Like it will translate to being able to relate. And relating to the world doesn't mean you agree with it, and it doesn't mean that you follow it. It means that you take the time to understand how it operates, and that you're willing to do what Jesus did and step into it and communicate with the people in it and tell them that there's something better.
Sure.
That's what relating to the world means, because Jesus related to the world. I mean, God come down in human form, and he did that. He spoke to the Pharisees, and he talked to the Pharisees about scripture, the thing that they were most known for. He talked to poor people about money. He talked to revolutionaries, you know, about uprisings. Like, he talked to different people based on what they were interested in. Yeah. He talked to the woman at the well who had how many husbands, and he talked to her about husbands. So it was... That's what Jesus does. That's what going into the world and relating to it looks like, is just not agreeing with it, not following it, but understanding it. And I think that's what it looks like in the church too, is just being able to understand each other's perspectives.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I was talking about kind of connected with that, I kind of try to drive that point home as well, the listen to understand, don't just listen to respond. But I had made the point that we operate often from the assumption that we're right about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, why wouldn't we? I mean, if I thought I was wrong about something, I should change my belief about it ideally. And so I assume everything that I believe is right, but that's a difficult thing, because in reality, I'm not right about everything. And when you recognize that, it brings a certain amount of humility into a relationship. I think that we can communicate better if we're able to say, okay, help me to understand where you're coming from. Help me to understand your perspective. Let me listen to you. And we dialogue. I'm not simply trying to get another hashtag for the kingdom of God, right? Sure. I'm to love a person. We love people by listening well, by listening, hearing where they're coming from, and saying, as you said, there's a better way. You know, there's a better person, and his name is Jesus. And we model that by how we interact. I've been spending time in 1 Peter recently, and Peter really talks a lot about loving loving well in a world that disagrees with you, suffering for Christ's sake, being gentle in how you interact, honoring people. And all of that, I think, connects with the ideal way we communicate. So
I think a lot about I think a lot about the way that I learn about people more and better is when I'm asking questions about them and just listening.
Sure.
And I had an interaction at Faith Walkers with a gentleman from Cedar Creek, and if you're listening, you know who you are. But he and I were talking about the worship there, and he was talking about things he disagreed with, things he didn't like about it, and I was telling him that everything he disagreed about it was everything I loved about it. Mm-hmm. But I had to catch myself, because I could have begun, I would have started an argument by trying to defend it for some reason, and that's not how I love my brother. So I stopped myself as best as I could, and I began to ask questions like, well, why do you think that? How do you mean? You know, what's your background on that? Why? How'd you come to that opinion and stuff? And the more I learned about it, the more I began to see he has a very valid reason as to why he says what he says. And I love him better because of that. And we're brothers in Christ, and so I respect his opinion. And in all honesty, he wasn't wrong. he had a very informed, thought out, personal opinion about it. And I wasn't going to disagree with him, because I knew that he felt the same way about me, because he began asking me the same questions, and I began to explain, and he respected that as well. And I feel like because of that interaction, I know him better now because of it. Mm-hmm. So
you were quick to listen.
I was actually quick to speak, but I had to stop myself. So I was slow to listen, but I got there. Okay,
It's fun to hear success stories like that. I feel like as you guys have been talking about this, I'm just thinking there seems to be increasingly an attitude of, you know, not necessarily in the church, but sometimes, unfortunately, in the church, of if we disagree on something, we have nothing more to talk about. Like, if you disagree with me, I can't relate to you until you agree.
Yeah.
And so,
or prove you're right.
Sure. Yeah. It's a competition to, like, one of us has to be completely right and one of us has to be completely wrong, and there's no middle ground, there's no understanding. So it's good to hear that can still be accomplished.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of along that lines, one of the questions that I was thinking about is specifically within the church, what do you guys think are some of the biggest barriers, maybe, or the biggest obstacles to good, genuine communication?
Well, I think when you had raised that question a little while ago, I think one of the biggest barriers to good communication is our busyness. We live, I mean, a lot of times there's a lot of church activities, but there's also a lot of life activity. And we, you know, we come together on Friday nights or on Sunday mornings and we're like, hey, how are you? And then we disappear and we don't have any opportunity to go deeper with people, or don't take, I guess, the opportunity to go deeper, because there's always a sense of hurry, always a sense of, okay, I need to rush. There's something else I need to get to do. There's something else I need to do. And again, that's one of those things as a bivocational pastor, I feel the heaviness of that. I feel, you know, there's a lot of demands on my time, both professionally and here at the church. And how do I find the right path in terms of getting to know other people, of communicating well, of listening well, of providing good counsel to people if I'm not taking the time to do so. The I've shared this before, but Dallas Willard had asked, John Ortberg had asked Dallas Willard, how do I help my church grow spiritually? And he said, you need to ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. Mm. It's the great enemy of the Christian life today. Yeah. And I feel that. I feel that sense of, okay, I need to go. And yeah. So.
No, I agree, because what that does then, it begins to formulate the lie in your head that these things outside of Christ must take priority because I have responsibility to them.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I understand that, you know, family is important, work is important, hobbies, depending on what you're doing, is important. I get that. It makes sense. But like you were saying, you have to make Christ your life. And I think to answer the question, Josh, I think kind of going off what Jason was saying too, what I think one of the biggest hindrances is that, I've seen Christians who are so willing to die on a hill of a political opinion and not on the firm foundation of Christ. I've seen so many Christians have a hard and fast economic policy in their own head, and anything other than that, they will argue to the bitter end. But as soon as somebody brings Christ into the picture, they step away or they walk away or they don't formulate with that. And so I think one of the biggest hindrances is like, you know, just having an opinion about anything is fine. You're a human being. You're rational. You have emotions, feelings, and thoughts. God's blessed you with that. But first and foremost, you have to be willing to stand on the firm foundation of Christ and not plant your flag on the GOP or the Democratic Party hill. Mm. Like, you have to understand that your political beliefs, your taste in movies and music, all that other jazz is personal to you, but it's not something you should ever die on.
Or Green Bay Packers.
Exactly. No, I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree.
You made that point.
Yeah, that was my biggest, personally, that was my biggest idol coming out of high school before the edge. Like Brett Favre and the Packers, Aaron Rodgers, that was my God. It really was. Hmm. And people, I specifically think Richard Manti took the time, because he's a Packer fan too. He took the time to understand me. He took the time to reach out to me, this 18-year-old freshman, like, oh, why do you like football? You know, how'd you get to be a Packer fan? All these other things. He didn't condemn me. He didn't say, you need to stop watching the Packers, Matt, if you're going to be a Bible study leader or something. Like, he took the time to, and he was patient with me. Mm. Same with Scott Nelson. My first semester, those two guys were incredibly patient with me, and I fell more in love with Jesus because they let me grow out of that. They didn't just pull me out of it. And so I no longer plant my flag on the hill of the Green Bay Packers, especially when they go 7-9. So I plant my flag on Christ, and I will die on that every time. So
it's easier not to do that in foul weather. That reminds me of one of my favorite things that I remember you saying in your teaching, Matt, was at some point when you were talking about communicating with, I think, with other believers, but am I patient enough to be gentle? That was a good kind of 1-2 punch of, you know, I can't really be gentle if I'm not being patient, and if I'm not being patient, I'm probably not being gentle. A good thing to keep in mind.
So true.
The other thing to kind of follow on that, I think, is a lot of times we come into the church wearing masks. What else inhibits genuine communication? Well, I come and I present it what's not really going on. Yeah. You know, I show a picture of me of maybe what's not accurate. You know, I come in and I'm like, hey, life is great, when maybe I'm feeling really down. Yeah. You know, I'm just feeling heavy, or I've just had a fight with my kids or with my wife. I bring it in and I'm like, hey, everything's great here. And I mean, it's the classic question. Hey, how are you doing today? I'm fine. Great. Which is the socially appropriate response to that, right?
Yeah.
Do you really want to know how I am? And is it safe to do that in a church? Do we actually invite that sort of communication with one another, whether it's in a large setting or in life group, to be able to say, this is just really hard for me right now? And I think when we can kind of set those masks, those things that we wear, you know, for me, I hide behind intellectualism a lot of times, and or sarcasm. We were just talking about that earlier. And can I set that aside and be authentic? I think that's another thing that prevents us from relating well.
I agree. I believe that's absolutely huge. I know I know a lot of people might feel uncomfortable being so transparent mm-hmm. in a public setting, but in a small group setting where it's smaller, or even in an accountability group, if you have mm-hmm. one, or that one person that you confide in, that's great to be transparent there. I think a lot about, you know, Friday nights when I walk into church and I just had the worst day, or maybe Brianna and I had an argument right mm-hmm. beforehand or something. Like, I, just to go with what you're saying, like, I have made the mistake of putting the mask on mm-hmm. for sure. I really have. And there have been other nights though where I have come in, it's like, you know what, I haven't had a good day. I just haven't. And in all honesty, I love you and thanks for asking, but I don't want to talk about it right now. I just want to be surrounded by friends and believers and Christ. And but yeah, I agree. Like, that's huge. It's huge. Mm-hmm. The mask, because, you know, if church is a hospital, we're all sick. We don't need to pretend. Mm-hmm. So
Jonas Bates had said one point that he would like a sign over the door of the church that said "mess is welcome." Mm. And I thought, yep.
I like that, Jonas. I like it a lot. So yeah.
Jonas is a smart guy.
Yep. Yes.
I love his beard.
There's a lot to love about Jonas Bates.
Welcome to the Jonas podcast. Today's topic is his beard.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We should pick a Cedar Creek member every week and just say nice things about them. I think that would be some good communication.
Welcome to the 30-minute compliment.
I guess in the interest of not running quite as far over time as we usually do, we should start to wrap up. But is there anything else on this topic that has really been kind of tugging at you guys, either as part of your teaching or since your teaching, that you've been thinking about?
I've been even when I was making this teaching beforehand, one reason I was so excited about it was because one thing that I've been really convicted about and have witnessed a lot of is kind of what I said earlier. A lot of Christians will plant their flag on some worldly opinion and they will die on it. And it just breaks my heart. There's been so many times where I'm scrolling through Facebook and I'll see Christians in and outside of Cedar Creek just go at it. And mm-hmm. There have been times where I actually put my phone on and I just cry because I see what's going on, and it just breaks my heart. And I think it's important to know, like, I don't care who the president is. I don't care what your economic policies are. Christ mm-hmm. comes first and foremost. And we are so blessed to live in a country even that we could disagree with our president, that we can make fun of political leaders. And you just, you know, as a Christian, you kind of just got to let that go because Christ is first and your president is further down the importance line, but it's pray for him. But yeah, that was my biggest thing. That was my biggest conviction as I was prepping, was thinking a lot about how so many Christians just plant their flag on opinion and they'll die on it. So,
yeah.
And I think for me, it's maybe similar to that is, what am I prioritizing? I received a message from somebody yesterday who essentially confronted me on why I don't interact on the things he posts on Facebook, which are often politically charged. And I said, I don't see any value in online debate, which is a whole area we haven't even dove into, the whole social media piece.
That's a whole other podcast.
But there's an issue that there are certain people where, you know, when they post something, it's going to lead to debate and it's going to lead to hot feelings. And it's just wise, I think, to not even step into that. I have been thinking a lot recently about that James 5:12, where it says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. What does it mean to just be here following Christ? You know, if somebody, if there's a question, answer it without feeling this need to defend and fight and battle. Just love well, follow Christ, and guard your tongue.
I choose to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's probably a good place to end. I don't, like you said, we didn't touch on the social media part, but we'll probably have another opportunity at some point in this series. I'm guessing that will come up again. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you both for your teachings this weekend. Thank you for being here and talking about them. Coming up this Friday night at 6:30 and this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 is the next part of the I Can Relate series on committed community. I believe Justin will be talking on Friday night, and yes, Rob will be talking on Sunday morning. So
indeed,
we hope to see you here for those. If you can't make it to Cedar Creek on the weekends, you can always listen to the recordings at seacreek.org/sermons or wherever you found this podcast. And then we'll be back next week with Justin and Rob to talk about them.
Thank you.
Until then, have a great week, everybody. Thanks,
bye,
Matt.
Bye.
Music for this podcast provided by DNK via freemusicarchive.org.